Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to an edition of Wrestle Chat Radio that we will call Stomping Grounds Review. Marcus Kane coming to you, not live from the SBTV studios here in New York, but actually on my cell phone, since Blog Talk Radio once again will not work. Surprise, surprise that we wake up today and find out that Blog Talk Radio says we're connected and we're not connected. Amazing, right? We only pay for a service we do not get. I guess this is why we constantly compare Blog Talk Radio to the WWE, because you pay for things and then you don't get them. And when you complain, nothing happens. Anyway, folks, 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. Will be the number to call if it works. And you can talk to us live. And if the chat room decides to work today by the blessings of the Lord, then maybe we can take your questions, comments, and opinions there as well. If it sounds like I'm fed up with Blog Talk Radio, you bet. You bet. There is absolutely no way to run a professional show on this service. No way. It's no wonder people are bouncing off of this in droves. This will cease to exist by 2020 if it continues this way. Anyway, enough about our problems. Hopefully we're connected and hopefully you're able to listen. And we're going to jump right into this because WWE's Stomping Grounds was, beyond a shadow of a doubt, a tale of two pay-per-views. We had warned everybody ahead of time. Well, first we had cautioned people. We said, don't jump to conclusions just yet. No, there wasn't a lot of build-up for these matches. Yes, a lot of these matches were rematches and matches that the outcomes really weren't in much in question, especially the title matches. But give them a shot, because sometimes these pay-per-views with very low expectations turn out to be some of the better pay-per-views. And from the opening match, it looked like that's what it was going to be. We had, of course, the match on the pre-show featuring 205 Live champion Tony Nese, Akira Tozawa, and Drew Gulak, and they really tore the place down. Now, for people in attendance who were texting me last night, they were saying that a good portion of the building was blocked off and that this building was nowhere near sold out, and that fans were told to move to certain sides, which was hard camera side, that tickets were being given away late, et cetera, et cetera. But put all that aside for a minute, this crowd was pretty hot, especially for the opening match. They popped loud. There was 205 Live chants. These guys worked very hard, very, very hard. And to their credit, I think they really won over the crowd. Now, anytime that a match leaves you with the opinion that more fans might actually tune in to 205 Live and you may get more eyes on the product, then that's a good match. And I came away from this pre-show match saying to myself, if I didn't watch 205 Live, if I weren't someone who watched it on a regular basis or watched it at all, given the performance of these guys, it may incite me to actually go and check it out, which is a positive thing. Now, on the other hand, on the negative side, had the WWE been able to really promote this match to a wider audience and make the fans care about the outcome more than they did, this could have been a classic match. All that was missing from this match is the fans' actual emotional investment in this match. For the most part, there was none. It was just three really good wrestlers going at it, and fans were impressed with their athletic skills. In the end, they did decide to make that change that I thought they probably would wait for. We knew that they were a little underwhelmed with Tony Nese and his ability to really get the fans invested in what he does. We knew they were ready to make a change. We figured it was going to be Drew Gulak down the road, but we didn't really figure it would be on Stomping Grounds. Now, Gulak did not pin Nese. He pinned Akira Tozawa. But regardless of who he pinned, Drew Gulak is now the 205 Live champion. I thought it was an excellent match, Mike, and I thought they did a lot to maybe further their fan base with the WWE Universe.
Right. I agree with you there. And look, as I was watching this match, and after this, look, they gave this match time, the time it deserved. They gave it, almost 25 minutes, you know, to develop. And they, like you said, they tore the house down. It was like they told them, go, if you can go out and steal the show, go steal the show.
Yeah, and they really did. I mean, from that opening few segments that they had there, I said, this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough for anybody coming after them to follow. These guys really hit their spots. Everything looked good. I thought it was an excellent way to open it, and right away my expectations was up a little bit, because I said we have a dressing room full of people who need to follow this, Todd, and not so easy to follow a match like that, really.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I was shocked where Drew Gulak won. I thought Tony Nese was going to retain his belt, but I guess they swerved me in that match.
Yeah, you know, I knew they were going to make a change. I just didn't think they'd make it right here in on the pre-show. You know, it's just a, I guess it's a matter of opinion. My opinion is that they probably should have waited until a bigger show, or if they were going to make that change, make 5 Live match part of the show and not a pre-show to make it seem a little bit more special. But no, they decided to go with the switch. Derek in the chat room is saying, could it be our studios that's screwing up? No, Derek, it's not. We were connected to Direct Connect, which is a direct connection to our microphones. Direct Connect was not allowing any sound to come through. When we attempted to reboot, there is no longer any button even to connect to Direct Connect because Blog Talk Radio Studio will not load it. So no, it's not the studio. We're sitting in a studio with $50,000 worth of equipment, and I'm talking on a cell phone. So no, it's not the studio. It's Blog Talk Radio and their apps that are very buggy and work when they feel like working. When you are looking at a screen that does not even include the button to connect to Blog Talk any longer, then it's Blog Talk Radio's fault. We can't click a button that isn't on the screen. Anyway, let's start with the very beginning here. As the pay-per-view starts, we get Becky Lynch right away and Lacey Evans. And I'm telling you, as soon as this was announced as the first match, there was no doubt in my mind, none, zero, that Lacey Evans was going to be the special guest referee, giving everybody plenty of time. First match, last match, we get it. Now, did Lacey Evans put on a decent match? She did put on a decent match, but this was not really a great match, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons, and one of them actually is Becky Lynch's fault. Becky Lynch was calling spots so loud, the camera could pick it up. I clearly heard her saying back elbow, the back elbow. I clearly heard her call at least two more spots in that match. Literally at the top of her lungs. Now, I don't know if Lacey Evans is hard of hearing, but I do know that there are better ways and more professional ways to call your spots than to just, you know, scream them in the open air where the microphone's going to pick them up. Because that obviously takes a little bit away from the match. There was a horrible spot in the corner where Becky Lynch went to try to jump on the buckle and do a kick and missed the buckle. So Lacey Evans just stood there and waited for her to do it the second time. Was not a good match. Some of it was Becky Lynch's fault. Lacey Evans, with a little less experience, I think a more experienced person would not have waited for that second shot. They would have hit her and done the spot, you know, recalled the spot in a minute. The right move there, if someone blows a spot, is to just go in, hit her in the back, throw a couple of punches, whip her to the corner, and let her do it again. Not sit there and wait for her to do it the second time like, oops, we screwed up, let's hit the reset. That was bad. So I'm not giving this match very high marks, and this is just another reason why I'm saying the fans really aren't into this feud. She's beaten Lacey Evans decisively twice, both times by submission. There's no reason for fans to buy into Lacey Evans beating Becky Lynch at this point. The matches themselves aren't good matches. They're just fair matches at best. And I don't think the fans really want to see any more of this feud. That's where the problem lies. If Becky Lynch had just dispatched Lacey Evans and moved on, okay, I think the fans would have been happy. But the very idea that we're going to get more of this, and we'll talk about it later, Mike, I think this is the problem with the WWE. They don't understand when fans are not interested in certain feuds.
Right. Like you said, this was a tale of two pay-per-views, and this was part of the two pay-per-view deal. Now, you know, we don't want to see any more of the feud, but they really haven't built anybody else up to, I mean, it just seems to me they're waiting for Rousey to come back. I mean, why are you waiting for Rousey to come back when you got legitimate legitimate women on your roster that, if you had built them, could be in a feud with Becky Lynch, you know? I mean, that's...
It's an interesting point, Mike, because you're right. They haven't built anybody else up, so you're right. This is exactly why we're getting these redundant feuds with people. But you would think that the WWE would be smart enough to at least do this. If they know they've built nobody else up, and they know that Lacey Evans has to be Becky Lynch's main nemesis for 3 or 4 months, then maybe it would be a really good idea if she doesn't tap out every single time they face each other. Maybe it would be a good idea if there's a double disqualification or a double count out, or Lacey Evans wins by count out, or something, to make it look like, well, naturally the feud's going to continue. There hasn't been a decisive ending. But when you give the fans decisive ending every single time and then just say, but the feud's going on, then the fans lose interest and they say, well, what's the point? Why does the feud go on? The feud goes on because Lacey Evans can't win. We have to see Lacey Evans versus Becky Lynch, knowing that Lacey Evans is no match. We have to see Baron Corbin versus Seth Rollins, knowing Baron Corbin is no match. And why do we have to keep seeing it and seeing it and seeing it? That's where the trouble lies with the WWE. They have no qualms about doing that, and that is a mistake. That is a huge, huge mistake. Anyway, we get to the New Day and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Good match, good beginning. I thought everything was fine except for the crazy booking. I mean, I don't understand the booking here. I had said on yesterday's show, and I maintain, if you think that that victory in any way, shape, or form redeems Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens from a month and a half of losing, then you're wrong. It doesn't. So if you're going to establish them as a tag team, they're going to have to do a whole lot more winning, and they shouldn't have done that much losing. This is exactly why I say the WWE doesn't plan things properly. If your ultimate goal was to say Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are going to be a formidable tag team, then under no circumstances do you have them lose and lose and lose and lose and lose and lose. That does not establish them as a formidable tag team. It establishes them as jabrons. Their record is 1-7. If you're a ball team and your record is 1-7, are you an established team heading to the playoffs, or are you jabrons? So they win. It doesn't really do much for either team, in my opinion. It was a good, solid match, Todd, but again, I don't understand the booking behind it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's a very good match, but didn't build up a thing, actually. And like you said, it was a pretty good match, and it didn't really do any good for both teams anyway.
No, I don't see how it helps Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, really. It's not like we're going to buy into, once again, are we going to buy into a long-term feud with them in the New Day? I don't think so. We've seen it, I don't know how many times already. So how does that really help, Mike? It was very strange booking, I thought.
Yeah, it was very strange booking, and especially, I mean, if your plan was to, at some point, put the tag team championships around a New Day and do the gimmick that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks about, you know, New Day having all the power, then this really doesn't help that if you're going to do that, you know?
Certainly does not. Certainly does not. It was very questionable in my mind, but whatever. That's fine. You know, it wasn't a major match anyway. So whatever they wanted to do, I was still happy with it. So at this point of the pay-per-view, I'm saying to myself, well, we got the pre-show. We got a great match. Becky Lynch and Lacey Evans did not hit the mark. They had a bad match. Had some blunders, had some way too loud spot calling. Lacey tapped out almost before. They literally had to say, well, Lacey tapped out to avoid any injury or possibility of an injury, because she tapped out before she even had it locked in. That's how fast she tapped out. So, whatever. That match was not very good. But I you know what? I said, if this is the end of the feud, I'm okay. It's fine. We move on. As far as the New Day and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, you want to give Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens the win? Yeah, technically they needed it, but it doesn't help. They're still looked upon as jabrons. They've lost too many times. And truthfully, I'd rather see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on their own doing what they do than as a tag team. But, you know, minor point. So let's get to the U.S. Championship, because this is going to be the most controversial, I think. I said on yesterday's show, most fans, I would assume, want to see Ricochet win that belt. The reason they want to see Ricochet win that belt is a legitimate reason, and the reason is he's going to put on really good matches. So now you have the opportunity as a booker to say, I know that the fans are emotionally invested in Ricochet. I've read social media. I've had my people scour the internet. I know what the fans are saying. Ricochet could be the champion. Won't that be great? I hope Ricochet wins. You finally got a guy that the fans are emotionally invested in. And you think so little of your fans that you say, we're going to give you instant gratification. He's just winning. We're not going to tell a story with him and get you even more emotionally invested. We're not going to have a long feud that stretches out until SummerSlam with him and Joe, where Joe gets disqualified in this match and tries to kill Ricochet or whatever. No, we're not going to stretch the fans along on a nice journey so they can really get behind Ricochet and really, really feel good when he wins. We're just going to give you what you want right this very second and rob you of the opportunity of that story, rob you of the chance to tell a great story that you're actually into. If I, as a promoter, knew there was a character that the fans were desperately wanting to succeed, I'm going to stretch that out as much as I can and milk that for everything it's worth. I'm not going to have him lose. I'm not going to have him get beat. But I'm going to have that journey be, God, there's every obstacle in his way, like Daniel Bryan. Why do you think Daniel Bryan became so hot? Because they threw every obstacle in his way until the fans said, there's no way he can win. Every time he tries, he gets screwed out of this. He gets screwed out of that. Same way with Kofi, right? They took you on a little journey and said, you want this guy to win? We're going to make you wait for it. You want this guy to win? You're into him. You're emotionally invested in him. Good. We're going to use that emotional investment to tell a story. And you're going to tune in every week to say, I hope this week Ricochet gets some revenge. I hope this week, you know, he'll succeed. And then guess what you do as a fan? You watch and you watch and you watch and you wait for that moment. It's much like a television show where you hope the bad guy gets what's coming to him, but he's not going to get what's coming to him till the end. And if it's a series, it might not be until the end of the first season or second season. They're going to make you wait and wait and wait because they know they got you. They know they've got characters you care about. That is crucially important. You have a character that the fans care about in Rick, and you instantly hand over the belt and rob fans of what could be a great storyline and a great hero to get behind. That's a mistake. And when Sami Callihan and Konnan say, well, the fans just want instant gratification, that you can't have a heel, because the minute a heel does something bad, the fans are like, oh, we want this guy to win instantly right now, and then WWE gives in to them. And says, okay, he wins right now then. But guess what? That's not the fans' fault. That's the WWE's fault, because the WWE should say, I know what the fans want. They want Ricochet to win tonight. He's not losing tonight, but he's not winning the belt either, because before he wins this belt, and he is going to win it, we're going to take you fans on a journey that's going to make you get behind Ricochet even more and more and more. That's how you build a character. So if you're a huge Ricochet fan and you're celebrating today, ask yourself a question. Is it better for Ricochet to have instantly won the belt and probably lose it in a month or two? Or would it have been better for Ricochet to not win the belt, have a long series of events happen to try to get back to winning that belt, have a long program with Samoa Joe that you're really, really into, and then at SummerSlam, let's say, climbs that mountain and wins that belt? And by then, his fan base has grown and grown and grown because he gets more airtime on television. His feud gets more build-up. The fans get more emotionally invested in him. So which is better for your favorite wrestler? Win the belt and lose it, like Samoa Joe does. If you're a Samoa Joe fan, how do you feel today? He wins it, he loses it, he wins it, he loses it, he wins it, he loses it. Means nothing. Ricochet's victory is not going to mean anything unless the fans can get emotionally invested in him as the champion. And from what I've seen, we're staring down the barrel of AJ Styles and the club reforming and probably taking over that belt. And if that's what they have in mind, and Ricochet is just a placeholder for that belt, how is that good for Ricochet? It's not. I am a Ricochet fan too. I did not want to see him win the belt last night. What I wanted to see is a story form where Samoa Joe gets aggravated, realizes Ricochet is very tough to beat, and I underestimated him, purposely gets himself disqualified so that fans can say that was done on purpose. Them ordering a rematch, something else happening at Extreme Rules that doesn't quite work out. And the feud continues until SummerSlam, where you have a legitimate match. Maybe a special stipulation match or something, and you got 2 months to build this, 2 full months to get the fans emotionally invested behind Ricochet. Can he do it? Let's root for him. He's had such a long journey. It's been so hard for him. He deserves it. He deserves it. He deserves it. That's what you want to do as a promoter. Not just say, fans seem to like him, just give him the belt. No hardships, no nothing. First time he goes 40 wins. That's what Conan and Sami Callihan are complaining about when they're saying the fans want instant gratification. Unless you give it to them, they don't like it. And that doesn't build heels. That doesn't build great feuds. That doesn't build great stories. If every single time the good guy just goes for something and he wins it and achieves it, then you have no heels. You have no stories. All you have is the instant gratification of who's the flavor of the week, hand him the belt. And that's why I think it's a mistake, Mike.
I think it's a mistake as well. And that's the thing. It also robs us of? We know Ray's coming back. We know that. And probably within the next probably 3 or 4 months, he's going to come back. Well, you would have loved – yeah, you want to see Ricochet have the title – but you would have loved to have seen, I would have loved to have seen Joe have the title and have Ray go after and get it. Yeah, we know he's probably not going to get it. He'd probably be a placeholder too because of what they're trying to do with the club. But that robs us of that too.
Could you imagine, Mike, if they stretched this story out, where Samoa Joe's having a hard time beating Ricochet, but he's doing every sneaky thing in the book he can do to make sure that he gets disqualified or counted out or Ricochet doesn't get his hands on the belt. And they stretch this to SummerSlam, and before that match at SummerSlam, Rey Mysterio is back and says, I have a legitimate claim to being the first guy to challenge Samoa Joe. And the next thing you know, we have a three-way dance, and you've got the opportunity to see Rey Mysterio versus Ricochet in that ring. You're telling me that's not a better story than just handing it over?
You're right. That would be a better story. And that's the thing. Now, granted, you just did say that it looks like they're going to put that belt at some point around AJ, right? The U.S. belt?
Yeah, tonight's match is non-title, but, non-title to me means – we're going to probably see an AJ heel turn tonight. Or if not, we're going to see a three-way dance. If AJ's legit and the club is turning face and it's just going to be a face faction, then AJ will challenge Ricochet. Samoa Joe will get involved. He hates AJ anyway. And that'll turn into AJ Styles, Ricochet, and the club against Samoa Joe and three people for an 8-man tag team match, I'm sure, down the line. And then they're going to say, well, we're going to have Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and Ricochet all go for Extreme Rules. They're all going to go for the belt, three-way dance or whatever. That's what the WWE has in mind, and I think. And I don't think – I just don't think it's that good, Mike.
Right. And to me, AJ – I like AJ as a face, but he's been sort of a face too long. It's time for them to flip him.
I'd be for it. I'd be for it. If they're going to do it, they got to do it tonight, though. And then I don't know what's going to happen if Samoa Joe gets involved, which I do think Samoa Joe will probably get involved in some way, shape, or form. Todd, I just think it was too early for Ricochet to win the belt. It's not that I don't think he's a deserving champion. It's not that I don't think he'll put on great matches. It's that I think the fans have been conditioned to say, this guy is great, I just want him to have the belt right now. You know, when you go to a movie and you watch anything from an action film to a children's story, you want the guy to get his dog back. But he's not going to get his dog back in the first 10 minutes of the film. He's going to get his dog back in the last 5 minutes of the film. You want the bad guy to get what's coming to him, but he's not going to get what's coming to him in the first 10 minutes of the film. He's going to get what's coming to him in the last 10 minutes of the film. So what you want to do, ideally, if you're the WWE, is when you do find that rare character that the fans really, really want to get behind, you need to play that for everything it's worth. You need to make that 2 or 3 months of stories, not one night of stories. That's where the fans make their mistake. So all of the Ricochet fans who are celebrating today, I feel you. I'm not going to say he doesn't deserve the belt. Of course he does. But if you're really a Ricochet fan and not just a fan of I want to see good matches, you know deep in your heart this is not the best thing for Ricochet right now. If the WWE was really committed to Ricochet, they would have said, we're going to give you a couple of months storyline here. Your ascension to the belt. And when you win it, it's going to be a moment, you know, and you're going to keep it for a while. When they just say, here, have the belt because we got AJ coming with the club, that to me sounds like, you're a placeholder. We'll give it to you right now. Give the fans their feel-good moment for a minute. But you ain't nothing special. It ain't like you're keeping this. So if you're a Ricochet fan, I honestly think this was not what was best for him. I honestly think this points to the WWE not getting behind him, not getting behind him. Getting behind him meant we're going to make this a month or two of super television until you get that belt. Just like they did Kofi. See, they're behind Kofi. It took a month and a half for Kofi to finally even get the title shot because they were getting behind Kofi. They were really pushing Kofi. They didn't do that with Ricochet. They just said, you go in there and fight Joe. First shot you win, that's it. And then quickly go shoot that thing with AJ Styles because we don't want people to think you're actually going to keep this thing very long. Because let's face it, folks. If AJ Styles and the club reform, you think they're losing their first feud? You think the Bullet Club reforms to lose their very first feud? I don't think so. So I don't think that's the best use of Ricochet really right now, Todd. What do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I remember when Roman Reigns just got a title shot right away and won the belt. They were cheering him for not long, but soon after he won a belt, they booed him like John Cena did. Here's the belt. You're just going to be the champion, and what they boo you, they boo you. That's not a push.
The problem is if you got a character people are emotionally invested in, you have to stretch that out. You have to give the fans the benefit of that storyline. That's your job as a booker, is to say, wow, the fans really want to see this guy. Okay, well, let's put all obstacles up against him so the fans just have to tune in to see how will Ricochet overcome this obstacle. How can Ricochet deal with this? How is he going to get by this? That's what you do if you're really behind a guy. If you're not behind a guy, you just say, first shot out, you're winning the belt. And, you know, don't get too attached. And that's what I feel they did last night with Ricochet. So as a Ricochet fan, I'm worried. I'm worried it's not going to end up the way Ricochet fans really want to see this end up. I think Ricochet fans would have loved to see a 2 or 3 month storyline before he won that belt. So you see more Ricochet on television. You see more Joe and him going at it. You see more drama, more build up until you finally get what you want. That's the way it should be, folks. That's not even arguable. That is the way it should be. That's the way wrestling works. That's the way stories work. That's the way movies work. That's the way novels work. You don't start a novel with, there's a very, very poor man, and he finds out that he has a rare disease, and he needs money to get the cure. And in the second scene, he scratches off a lottery ticket, and he wins $10 million, and then the rest of the movie is just how happy he is. Well, that's not much of a movie. Or there's a man who's got separated from his dog, and his dog is lost in the wilderness. But no worries, because he has the chip in the dog, and they find him 5 minutes later. Well, that's not much of a movie. Well, Ricochet getting his very first title shot against Samoa Joe, winning and moving on already, that's not much of a movie. That's not much of a story. And it doesn't make me think they have big plans for Ricochet. So before Ricochet fans, you know, cheer and cheer and cheer, because they think, oh, this is going to be a long, long title reign and a lot of great matches. Don't count on it. Not yet. Let's see what happens. Okay, anyway, Daniel Bryan, Eric Rowan versus Heavy Machinery. WWE certainly did Heavy Machinery no favors by making this match in Daniel Bryan's hometown, where Daniel Bryan was obviously the...
Hello.
Well, hopefully I'm reconnected. Blog Talk back up to the old tricks. Mike, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. So we're talking about Heavy Machinery. They certainly did them no favors.
Yeah, they did them no favors, and they put him in a... He's supposed to be... Brian's supposed to be a heel, but you've got to know that you put a guy in his hometown, he's going to get cheered. He's going to get cheered. And it wouldn't have mattered who he was. They could have put him and Rowan against the New Day. Brian would have still got cheered. You know?
Absolutely. So could they have not given Daniel Bryan 10 seconds to take the microphone and say, you know, I was looking forward to coming back to my hometown and let everybody cheer for 5 minutes and then say, until I saw what a dump it was, until I saw what it's become. And to be perfectly honest, I denounce this as my hometown. All of you people are disgusting. The town is going to hell in a handbasket. And, you know, I have no affiliation to this anymore whatsoever. Wouldn't that have helped a little bit, Heavy Machinery?
Yeah, it would have helped a little bit. And look, I mean, we didn't talk about the promo that Daniel Bryan cut out of Brian and Rowan cut at the beginning of the pre-show, where he's talking about,
right,
you know, there is no competition and all that stuff. Basically saying what we've been saying for a while about the tag team division on the WWE, and it rang true because it's what we, you know, because it's happening. It's happening that way, that there really isn't any competition on SmackDown.
No, he's absolutely right. I mean, that was a really good promo, and I thought it worked. But in this match, even though Heavy Machinery was booed, And even though they lost, this was exactly what Heavy Machinery needed. If you're a Heavy Machinery fan, in my opinion, you should be happy. And here's why. They clearly showed that Heavy Machinery were more than capable of beating Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan. They clearly showed that they were very, very serious and capable tag team. And they clearly showed that they weren't overpowered. They weren't beaten down. A sneaky little roll-up was all that won the match. A sneaky little roll-up. Which means that Heavy Machinery... And yeah, we made one little mistake because we don't have the experience. We made one little mistake. It's not a mistake we're going to make again. See, this is the way you do build up a team. Give them some time to get the fans behind them. Give them some time for the fans to say, hey, those guys kicked the hell out of Rowan and Brian for a good 10 minutes. Maybe these guys are the real deal. Then now take them on a journey where they defeat team after team after team on their way back to fighting Rowan and Brian again, and the fans will buy into it and say, oh good, this time, you know, these guys are well aware of the sneaky little crap that Daniel Bryan and Rowan can pull. They're not going to get snookered again by this. This is how you successfully do build a team that the fans are emotionally invested in. Fans are not giving up on Heavy Machinery just because they lost. Far from it, they're going to say, they lost, but how did they lose? Did they get beat up? Did they get dominated? Were they left laying in a heap? No. They kicked the hell out of the tag team champions in one sneaky little roll-up that didn't even hurt. Got them. But it can't be that way. That's the correct way to build up machinery. Now, you got to get Heavy Machinery on TV, though, this next week. And well, folks, we're having a hell of a time here at Blog Talk Radio today. Hopefully you can still hear us. Hopefully we're still on. Anyway, that's the way you successfully build a tag team. Hopefully this is exactly what's going to happen with Heavy Machinery. I was not disappointed in the match. I thought this is the best way to handle it, Todd, and I thought they did a good job.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I think they did a pretty good job how they handled that match, and I would have, like, Heavy Machinery just go after the titles for a few months, then finally win them.
They could easily do that now because, again, Heavy Machinery fans are not giving up on them because of that loss. It wasn't a dominant loss. If anything, it was exactly the opposite of a dominant loss. It was a lucky win. It was a sneaky win. It was just a little roll-up that ended up getting the guy after they had dominated the tag team champions for virtually the whole match, Mike.
It really was. Yeah. What you call it, got his spots, you know, with the kicks and his stuff like that. And, of course, Rowan got his big man athletic spots. He had that splash and stuff. But, again, when you've got two other guys that can – that are 300 pounds or close to it that can take that punishment from a 300-pound guy, then what you saw happen in that match where they literally, after Rowan gave him that splash, I think it was Dozovic, literally popped up after it, you buy that because of the size of the guy, you know?
Sure, and look at the yes kicks, what ended up happening. He got how many yes kicks, and then he was just taking them like they were nothing. And even the announcers were saying, I don't think Daniel Bryan's ever encountered anything like this, where this guy's just absorbing these kicks like they're nothing. That went farther to help Heavy Machinery than they did with Ricochet by giving him the belt. because this has now conditioned fans to say, listen, that Heavy Machinery, they dominated the tag team champions. Okay, sneaky little roll-up or not, that may not happen again. I'd like to see a rematch because those guys were, you know, seconds away from being the tag team champions. Now, if you continue to make Heavy Machinery dominant over the other tag teams, you're doing Heavy Machinery the right favors. You're making their fans wait for the moment where they might get the belt. That's what you ultimately want to do. Anyway, Bayley and Alexa Bliss, they had a good little match. There was a little bit of confusion where I don't understand what Nikki Cross was trying to do at the end, because she literally jumped in almost as if she was trying to save Bayley. And I just don't understand why she would jump in that position. I don't get it. Maybe that's something we're going to get fleshed out tonight in some kind of a story or something, but the long and the short of it is, when she jumped in the ring, it wasn't as though something horrible was going to happen to Alexa, and I was very confused. I'm saying, what the hell is going on? I thought she was going to do something to Alexa right there on the spot, and she didn't. So I don't know. That one confused me a little bit, Mike. I don't know what Nikki Cross was doing blocking Alexa Bliss from her finisher.
I mean, it confused me, but just think of it this way. It fits that maniacal, confused character that she – yeah, they've had her tone that thing down a little bit to play this character, but it fits her previous character, you know, that she was playing, that you don't know what's coming, what she's doing and when she's doing it or why she's doing it, you know. And here's something else to think about. They didn't have Bayley win with the elbow. What they did is went for the Twisted Bliss, missed it, landed on her knees, then Bayley hits her with the Bayley to belly and wins, which is a logical thing to happen, to have a person, you know, have their back slammed in somebody's knees and then slammed onto a mat, you know.
Right.
I like that finish.
I just hope that today they address this. I mean, Alexa Bliss has to logically ask Nikki Cross, why did you jump in the ring when I was attempting to do my finisher? You were almost blocking me from doing it. Why did you do that? Because ultimately it cost me the match. If she doesn't address that and just says, oh, I lost and I don't know what happened, and, you know, that's dumb, because anybody who's going to watch that match, which Alexa Bliss I would assume would watch it back if, you know, it was real, she would say, hey, what the hell were you doing jumping in there, waving your arms and stuff at me? What the hell was going on? So she's going to have to address that tonight, Todd, to make this logical.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Nikki Cross, we don't know what she did in that spot. It looks like it was a confusing spot right there. Like, who she's trying to protect? Alexa Bliss or Bayley there in that spot?
Yeah, that's what I said, and that's why I don't understand. Anyway, let's go to Roman and Drew. Look, the less said about this, the better, because I'm furious about this for a couple of reasons. One is that these guys have no chemistry. I like Drew McIntyre. I like Roman Reigns. They don't gel well together. They've had two matches. Neither one of them are any good. They just don't gel. Their styles don't gel. So what does the WWE do after realizing, you know, these are two great athletes, but their styles just don't add up to an exciting match? They say, let's give more of it. So Drew McIntyre once again has to bite the dust, even with Shane McMahon's interference. They made Roman Reigns look like Superman. He took the coast to coast. He took everything he possibly could and kicked out. And at the end, he basically single-handedly beat Shane and Drew McIntyre. And even the announcer said, well, that's pretty much the end of that feud. I mean, you know, what more can you say? Drew's going to have to move on. Only to have Shane McMahon backstage say, no, 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 it's not over. He's going to have to fight the both of us at the same time. No one wants to see this. No one wants to. The crowd booed. The crowd booed when it was announced. Audibly booed. And it wasn't boo, we hate the fact you're trying to screw Roman Reigns. It was boo, we don't want to see this anymore. You have destroyed Drew McIntyre. Congratulations. When Drew McIntyre first came in, I said he could be the top heel in this company. He could be a guy that the fans would pay to see get beat. Instead, you've made him ineffectual. He just gets his ass kicked all the time. He's a setup for Shane McMahon. It's, oh, well, I can't win without Shane because Shane is so much better than me. Well, then I don't know. Then Drew McIntyre should go back to 3MB. Because at this point, there's no way that this – him and Samoa Joe might as well pack their bags. Because all they do is mouth off about how they're tough and they get their ass kicked every single time. And fans now are conditioned to say, you're not tough. You're not hard to beat. You're not a threat. You're not someone I have to worry about. And the more you do that, the more you destroy their characters. And fans do not want to see this match tonight at all. Or I guess it's Tuesday night at all, Mike.
They don't, and that's the thing. I mean, I once thought that, too. You know, he could have been the biggest heel. And, look, I did say, you know, I watched they didn't want any staple for three things with him, with Drew and you know, and what you call it, and, of course, gender. And they all said that they'd like to get back together. So, I mean, that's probably not going to happen, but – you know, it wouldn't be the worst idea because they have the
might
worst.
Might as well add Samoa Joe to the mix. Maybe he can be the hula dancer or something, because the bottom line is they're done. Samoa Joe is done. He has lost to AJ Styles. He has lost to Rey Mysterio. He has lost to Braun Strowman. He has lost to Brock Lesnar. He has lost to Ricochet. He has won zero feuds. Zero. And yet every single time he starts a feud, he says, I'm the toughest. You'll never be able to defeat me. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then he just gets beat. Drew McIntyre, same way. I'm going to disfigure you and maim you and this, that, and the other thing. And then he goes down in a blaze of glory and that's it. At some point, fans stop buying into this rhetoric and they just say, them guys are nothing. And that they've got to the point now where Samoa Joe is nothing. And Drew McIntyre is nothing. Rather than to say, we're going to put this AJ Styles thing on hold. We're going to slowly build up this. He might be reforming the club. We're not even going to do that till SummerSlam. But in the meantime, we're going to build up Ricochet and Samoa Joe's feud. So Joe still looks pretty tough and evil and conniving and devious. No, why bother? Why bother? We don't need that. We got Shane McMahon. That's exactly what's going to happen, folks. Anyway, Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler in the cage. I told you all this is the one I was probably looking the most forward to. I thought Dolph Ziggler would really pull out all the stops to help Kofi. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, but I do think that it was a clever match in the sense that there was a couple of times when I really thought, Jesus, are they going to give this belt to Ziggler? Here's the one thing I hate about cage matches, and if you guys agree with me, everybody listening, just hit me up because maybe I'm the only one. What I hate is when a guy struggles to climb the cage. It's taken him a half hour. Ugh, it's so laborious to get to the top. I can't quite make it. And then when his opponent is on the top of the cage, almost getting out, he runs up the cage 100 miles an hour like, this is nothing. Well, if you could run up the cage that quick, why didn't you do it when you had the chance to win the match? I hate when that happens because it looks so ridiculously fake. Kofi Kingston, at one point, they were saying he can't make it up the cage because he can't even get his feet in the holes there. He's trying hard to pull himself up, but he can't do it. Then Dolph Ziggler's three quarters out of the cage, and Kofi climbs that thing, boom, 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 like a cat climbing a tree. So much for he can't do it. However, I thought the ending was clever. Looked like Ziggler's out of the cage, and you say, oh, Kofi's just going to make it back to call him in. And he's like, well, why bother? The door's open. Let me just jump out. I always said that about cage matches. If the door is open and you're trying to haul your guy back in, why don't you just go out ahead of him? Just go through the ropes. The door's wide open. Instead of hauling him back and continuing the match, just climb the hell over him. I always said that. So to have Kofi Kingston jump through that, hooked his foot in the ropes too. It was a dangerous spot, but he was able to win pretty good. I thought that was an excellent ending, and I thought it was a pretty good match, Mike. What's your thoughts?
I think so too. And look, the thing about your feet have to touch first, that needs to go away, you know, because there are many times when a guy gets down there and his hands touch the floor, that should be the end of the match. Any part of you that touches the floor should be the end of the match, you know, a cage match.
Yeah, I just think your whole body should it should be – it doesn't matter what touches first, but your whole body has to be out. You can't touch it with one finger and still be in the cage. You can't reach out and touch it with one arm, but you're still in the cage. You just got to be out of the cage. Your whole body has to hit the floor. Doesn't matter what part, as long as your whole body is out, should be enough. But it was a pretty good match, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dio. It was it's still a pretty good match, and when that spot – what Kobe did with his foot, it got stuck – that was not a good spot right there.
No, he could have really got hurt, but luckily he was able to avoid that. So let's get to the 800-pound gorilla in the room, folks, because this was where – and I warned everyone. I told you yesterday, if they blow this with the referee, the crowd is going to turn on them. If they blow this with the referee, the only thing you're going to hear today, you're not going to hear how great 205 Live guys were. You're not going to hear what a nice cage match we had. You're not going to hear any of that. You're not going to hear, oh, Ricochet and Joe did a good job. You're not going to hear none of that. What you're going to hear is, what the F kind of crap was that in the main event? And that's all you're hearing today. We had talked about the possibility of it being Lacey Evans yesterday. Maniac had brought it up in the chat room, and I said that's WWE logic. Because, of course, Seth Rollins, I had said Seth Rollins is going to have a special guest referee he cannot hit with a chair. It's not going to be a male worker because he could hit any of them with a chair, unless perhaps it's Vince McMahon, which it wasn't going to be. So it's going to be a girl, and the only thing I could think of is Stephanie McMahon or perhaps Lacey Evans. But I had said I don't think they'll use Lacey Evans for the following reason. No one wants to see Lacey Evans and Becky Lynch feud continue. It has been resolved. She has tapped out twice in two matches. There's nothing more to say. She's 0-2. The matches aren't spectacular. They aren't even really good. They're fair. And she's 0-2. Fans were already upset that Baron Corbin got a main event against Seth Rollins, saying he doesn't deserve it. He's not booked to be a guy that would be a number one contender for the major belt. So they're already upset with that. And they don't want to see that match. That was the biggest complaint about this entire event is, well, Baron Corbin, main event, we don't really want to see that. That's not a main event. So what does the WWE do? We're going to subject you to another month, if not a month and a half of this nonsense. Because, of course, Lacey Evans being the special guest referee means, of course, Becky Lynch is going to come out and even the odds. I warned everyone last month, Tuesday. I said they are building up Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch as boyfriend and girlfriend too much to not have something in the works for a storyline. Every 5 minutes, there's her boyfriend, Seth Rollins. There they are meeting backstage. Here they are at some award show. Here she is helping Seth Rollins into the ambulance. Here they are exchanging loving glances backstage. You know they're boyfriend and girlfriend, right? They drummed that down our throat. And I said there's no reason for them to drum it down our throat because they're only boyfriend and girlfriend. They're not engaged and they're not married, which means that next week they could break up. And then where do you have – what's going to happen? So normally WWE doesn't announce things like that, not for a long time until it looks like it's real serious. But they were happy to do it now. So my thought process was they got something planned for them as a couple. Well, now we found out what it is. More nonsense with Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans that no one wants to see. And oh, by the way, these are your two major champions. Seth Rollins is the Universal Champion. Becky Lynch is the Raw Women's Champion. And you're going to tie them up for a month or maybe more in mixed tag team matches. That's what you're going to do with your champions. They're not going to defend the belts. They're just going to wrestle for whatever against Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. Two people that no one cares about. So you're not going to get a great title defense from Seth Rollins. You're not going to get a thrilling title defense from Becky Lynch. They're going to put their belts on hold and do intergender tag team matches for your amusement. Because, after all, who cares who the Universal Champion is, right? Who cares if he's not? You know, if wrestling was real, you would think that these competitors would say, wait a minute. How come he doesn't have to defend his belt? I'm next in line. I don't care about him and his girlfriend having tag team matches. They're not a tag team. They're the champions. They need to defend their belts at these pay-per-views. That's not what's going to happen. Extreme Rules, you're going to see a tag team match. That's what you're going to see. No title defense. Because it's not important. You tied up your two major champions on Raw. In a feud no one wants to see. No one cares about Baron Corbin. No one cares about Lacey Evans. Especially when it involves a feud with Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Because the Becky Lynch thing has already been put to bed. And the Seth Rollins-Baron Corbin feud is worthless because no one thinks that Baron Corbin has the credibility to beat Seth Rollins. He lost again last night. So perennial losers just keep saying, I want another shot at you. I want another shot at you. We're going to get you. How does that work? That would be like CM Punk saying, I want another shot at that guy who knocked me out in 2 minutes. And then he gets knocked out again in 45 seconds and says, I want another shot at him. And he gets knocked out in a minute, and I want another shot at him. Well, fans are going to stop wanting to see the fight because they're going to say, well, what are you talking about? You had your shot. You didn't win. You don't just keep getting shots until you win. I'm one win, 999 losses, but I beat the guy. Therefore, I'm better than him. Yeah, okay. This is awful booking. It's disastrous booking. Because the fans don't care. So now the fans don't have a storyline they care about for your Universal Champion. They don't have a storyline they care about your Raw Women's Champion. So where's the storyline that the fans care about so much on Raw? You think they care about anything that goes down with Shane McMahon? You're wrong. So where the hell is the storyline everybody cares about? I guess it's going to be AJ and the club. And guess who's that? That's bad news for. So there you go. This is why the fans were booing. This is why the fans were chanting, this is stupid. This is why the fans were chanting CM Punk. This is why the fans were chanting AEW. Because the fans knew what Lacey Evans being the special guest referee meant. If they loved Becky Lynch so much, and they were so involved in this feud, then they would have not chanted, this is stupid. They would have not chanted AEW. They would have not chanted CM Punk. They would have said, oh, Becky Lynch is going to come out. This is going to be great. But the majority of them didn't, did they? Because those fans knew what that choice meant. It meant another month, if not more, of Baron Corbin, Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, Lacey Evans, and they don't want it. So what does the WWE do? They force feed you it and say you're going to eat it anyway. Mike, this was an absolute disaster.
You're right. And I mean, it's like you're going to a steakhouse and you're getting a rubber steak and an overcooked baked potato, you know? And the guy, the waiter comes in and says, you're going to eat this and like it or else you're going to get the same thing again if you send it back. That's what this is, you know? And that's the thing. And look, we talked about who it could have been on Sunday and who the referee could have been. And we talked about it over the week, you know, and we say, well, it could be Stephanie McMahon. Here's another thing. If it had been Stephanie McMahon and the same thing happened, and she got thrown around by Becky Lynch a couple of times, and this, that, and the other.
Right.
You know what that would have done? That you know what that would have
yes.
done? For all the years that she got away with being the authority and nothing ever happened to it, it would have been a catharsis for the fans. Finally, she shows some ass, and finally she has her comeuppance, you know?
Of course. And then what plot lines could you have had? You could have literally had Stephanie McMahon say, Becky Lynch put her hands on me. I know it was a no disqualification match, and so I can't strip Seth Rollins of his belt, but Becky Lynch put her hands on me, and she's going to pay for that. And then you would have maybe not Stephanie McMahon against Becky Lynch, but you could have had another female worker that Stephanie chose to be the one that this girl is going to make Becky Lynch pay. In the meantime, how interesting would it have been? Was it not Triple H who was out there saying, remember all those years ago in NXT I saw you and I told you you were someone special? I told you you need to be the Seth Rollins. You know, I was the one who drove you. You hated me and hated me and hated me. But ultimately, all the things I put you through made you the Seth Rollins you are, and I couldn't be more proud of you. How about now if Triple H confronts him and says, hey, your girlfriend put her hands on my wife? And Seth Rollins says, yeah? Well, your wife tried to rip me off of this belt that you claim you're so proud that I hold. Maybe you better put your wife in check before I put my girlfriend in check, eh? You would have had some real drama there where people would have said, now, wait a minute. Things are getting ugly here now. No, instead you get Lacey Evans walking around, tapped out twice to Becky Lynch, so, oh, it's going to be such an interesting match. Baron Corbin, who hasn't won a goddamn thing since he's gotten here, it's going to be such an interesting match. These are horror stories that the WWE is coming up with here. The fans instantaneously knew. The minute that music hit, they were like, oh, my God, we're going to get subjected to these matches, more of these matches. And they've already been told we're going to get more Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns and Shane McMahon. And they weren't happy about that. So now here's what WWE fans have to look forward to. More Roman Reigns, Shane McMahon, and Drew McIntyre nonsense that no one wants to see. Your two Raw champions, your two biggest Raw champions, tied up in a feud with meaningless people who they don't care about, who've already been beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten. How is that exciting? How is that compelling television? How is that must watch? It's not. It's the exact opposite of it. It's I don't want to see it. And Todd, the fans do not want to see this.
You're absolutely right, Gil. Like you said, fans don't want to see this. It's like with Baron Corbin and everything, all those other matches, with the Roman Reigns matches, feuding with the guys who don't have chemistry with. We don't want to see it.
It ended the pay-per-view on a disastrous note, even though, you know, fans popped a little bit when Becky came out because they knew she was going to come out. But I think in their heart of hearts, they were saying, if Becky comes out here, there's no cash in tonight either. There's no money in the bank thing going on. And we kind of knew that wasn't going to happen. Ultimately, what will probably end up happening is somewhere along the line, Baron Corbin and company will cost Seth Rollins his belt. They will do something, and Brock Lesnar will cash in, because Brock Lesnar is once again going to be the champion. We kind of know that. And fans aren't going to buy this. See, this is the problem. You need to give the fans something to look forward to in the future. You need to give the fans a storyline where they say, I can't wait to see what happens. That's why the Ricochet thing was such a mistake, because had Ricochet won by a disqualification and Joe, you know, really beat the hell out of him after the match and went nutso, fans would have said, I wonder how Ricochet's going to retaliate tonight. At least that's going to give them something. And you have a storyline going forward that fans say, I'm interested in Joe and Ricochet. This is going to be interesting. We're going to get more than one good match out of it. We're going to get several, probably. No, they didn't do that. And at the same time, they told you we're going to force feed you more Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, Shane McMahon stuff that, by the way, if all I have to do is have one person, I'm just one guy, and I do it, all I have to do is have one person scan social media and say, I don't know, man, Nobody's into the Shane McMahon, Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns thing. So let's just one and done it. You want Roman Reigns to win? Fine, and then we move on. We move on because the fans are not digging this. Or, I don't know, man, Lacey Evans is not going over. So just have Becky Lynch tap her out. Let Lacey move to a different feud. Let Becky move to a different feud. Let's get done with this because the fans aren't interested. That's all you need to do. Instead, they say, we're going to make you interested. Well, we're not interested because of the people that's involved. Lacey Evans has won nothing. She has won nothing. And she instantly got a title shot, which she lost. And then she got another one for winning nothing, which she lost. So why are we supposed to be invested in, oh, she could be the ruination of Becky Lynch? For what reason? She's won nothing. And by the way, if that wasn't bad enough, that the WWE drops the ball with a special guest referee, since when in the history of the world does a referee get to decide what type of matches you're having? Since when in the history of professional wrestling does a referee say, I'm making this match no count out? You're the booker? You're the general manager? I thought you were the referee. And I'm making this match no disqualification. See, Stephanie McMahon could have got away with that. That's why it should have been Stephanie. Because then people would have said, well, she's Stephanie McMahon. She can do that. Since when does Baron Corbin get to say who his referee is for a match? And since when does the referee he chooses, Lacey Evans, get to decide what kind of match it is? When has that ever happened? And then you wonder why fans are upset? Because it's so illogical, Mike, that it's almost laughable.
Yeah, it is almost laughable. And here's something else to think about with our situation with Triple H. That whole situation with him saying, well, you know, keep your girlfriend's hands off my wife and all that stuff, that could have been a setup for a Triple H, Seth Rollins match. You know?
Or
people
even if
would
you
probably
want to
wanted to...
If you want to do that mixed match, Mike, then you could have had Triple H and Stephanie one more time. You know, that would have been cool enough.
Right. But, you know, it could have been a Seth Rollins, you know, and yeah, in this case, Seth Rollins would have went over on Triple H, in my mind, but that's the thing. It would have set up a match that people probably would have wanted to see.
Look, imagine if it was Stephanie and that exact scenario happened that I said. And then Triple H gets into Seth Rollins' face and says, your girlfriend crossed the boundaries, and you better keep her in check. And Seth Rollins say, your wife crossed the boundaries, you better keep her in check. Now, they're at each other's throats. They end up deciding we're going to punish Becky Lynch in some way, and Seth Rollins comes to her defense. So Triple H has to basically come to his wife's defense and say, okay, we're going to do something against Seth Rollins. That leads to that mixed tag team match at SummerSlam, where the fans would be very interested in that, I would imagine. And then maybe the mixed match in SummerSlam, yeah, of course. Becky Lynch goes over on Stephanie. But Triple H is so irate that he pedigrees, Seth Rollins six times, storms out only to have Brock Lesnar's music hit. Brock Lesnar wins, and Seth Rollins says, Triple H cost me my belt. You have something then there. And Triple H could say, I'm the guy who made you, and I'm the guy that broke you. There was no Seth Rollins without Triple H, and when I decided I was done with you, I put you to bed, didn't I? That would have been something the fans would have really, really, I think, not only wanted to see, but they would have said, oh, my God, you know, now what are we going to get? Are we going to get Triple H and Seth? Are we going to get a rematch with Brock Lesnar? How's this going to work? At least it would have done something unique and different. This is not unique and different. We have seen Lacey Evans against Becky Lynch. We have seen Baron Corbin against Seth Rollins. We've seen it so much, we don't want to see it no more. We don't want to see it anymore, and yet the WWE insists on giving it to us. It's bizarre. It's just bizarre. If you didn't want to do that, if Stephanie said, I ain't wrestling, and Triple H said, I'm not interested, then call some girl up from NXT. Let that be her debut. I'm Baron Corbin's sidekick here now. I'm his girl. Okay, well, then at least it would set the dynamic that there's a new girl here, and we don't know if Becky Lynch can deal with her because we've never seen her. We already know that Becky Lynch can tap out Lacey Evans at will. So what's the point? What the hell is the point? It means nothing. It means nothing. Fans were very upset. I got a lot of messages last night from fans saying, I am done. I am not going to subscribe to see a pay-per-view that has Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch against Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. And by the way, I feel I was right when I said it takes away a little bit from, especially Becky Lynch, not so much Seth Rollins, but especially Becky Lynch, to have them, you know, hugging each other in the ring and being all boyfriend and girlfriend, because Becky Lynch, her portrayal was more like of a hard ass, I'm only into my career thing, and now all of a sudden it's, I'm here to protect my man. It's just bad. It's just bad. And it overshadowed the entire pay-per-view, unfortunately. It shouldn't have, because some of this pay-per-view was pretty damn good. So the highlights are the following. The 205 live match, very good. Kofi and Dolph Ziggler in the cage, good. Maybe not very good, but good. I think Bayley and Alexa pulled off a decent match with a couple of question marks in there, so I'd call that good. Samoa Joe and Ricochet put on a good match, but it was a very bad decision to give Ricochet the belt on the first try. Fans want to see their heroes have to overcome obstacles, not just easily beat the obstacle. Rocky didn't win in the first movie. And there was a reason Rocky didn't win in the first movie. Because it made people want to see the second one. Oh man, he was our hero and he tried so friggin' hard. And he didn't do it. And fans went home a little disappointed saying, oh, he didn't win though. And then they said, Rocky II is coming. And you're like, I got to see it. Because this is where he's going to win. The Avengers didn't win in the first movie, did they? Or I should say in the movie before last. Thanos won. So what did that make? It made everybody say, well, I got to see Endgame and see how they overcome these obstacles. See how the good guys win. Infinity War, if they had just said, well, okay, Thanos got his ass kicked, you would have been like, okay, well, whatever then. See, you see what I mean? You have to, as a writer, you have to, as a promoter, say, we have a guy here in Ricochet that the fans like. Let's put every obstacle in front of him that the fans will walk with him on his journey to overcome. Not just, oh, well, he overcomes it first shot. No problem. Well, okay, then fine. You could argue, well, now he's going to have to overcome the obstacle of AJ and everything, and that's going to be tough, and the fans are going to be rooting for him. Don't count on it. You've done Ricochet no favors, because guess who the top faction was a couple of years ago? The Bullet Club. If AJ reforms the Bullet Club or any form of the club, fans are going to be into it. Fans are going to love it. Fans are going to say, this is awesome. We're finally getting what we wanted, and to hell with Ricochet, because this faction is cool. We like these guys. This is what we wanted from the beginning, some form of a Bullet Club. So how does that do Ricochet any favors? Ricochet needs a dastardly villain that everybody will boo. Not a faction that everybody likes and is going to think is cool. So it doesn't do him any favors. So that's the negative. I think they mishandled Ricochet terribly, even though I know and I get why his fans are happy today. I'm telling you, the long run isn't good. I think they mishandled the New Day. There was no reason for the New Day to take the loss. Owens and Zayn are going nowhere as a tag team. And even if they do, even if they push them to the top, even if they hand them the belts, they're not going to be what they used to be. They're not going to – they've already lost that luster. Kevin Owens was one of the most popular guys. When he was coming back from this double knee surgery, you had the opportunity to make him a top guy. And I mean a top guy. And you blew it. You absolutely blew it. And now he's just another brick in the wall, as they say. So there was the negatives, other than the referee debacle. That's, and of course, the Drew McIntyre once again counting the ring lights, even with Shane's help. So what's our takeaway? Drew McIntyre is so tough that even with Shane McMahon's help and Shane McMahon delivering his finishing maneuver, it was not enough to beat Roman Reigns. So how tough is Drew McIntyre then? Not very. He can't win even with the help. Even when 2-on-1, the odds are stacked against him, Roman Reigns is more than a match for him. So we are led to believe that Drew McIntyre is not the guy he says he is. He is not that tough. He is not that hard to beat. Samoa Joe is garbage. He gets a belt, he can't keep it. He gets it handed back to him, he still can't keep it. Guy's half his size, he can't beat him. Guy's bigger than him, he can't beat him. Samoa Joe goes against Braun Strowman. Bigger guy than him, can't beat him. Goes against Brock Lesnar, bigger guy than him, can't beat him. Goes against AJ Styles, smaller guy than him, can't beat him. Goes against Ray, smaller guy than him, can't beat him. Goes against Ricochet, smaller guy than him, can't beat him. Name me the guy that Samoa Joe can beat. Mustafa Ali? That's it, huh? A 205 Live guy, he can beat him. That's it. Samoa Joe's done. His credibility is done. Drew McIntyre's credibility is very close to done. And you managed to do it in one pay-per-view. These were very, very, very bad booking decisions, Mike.
It was very, very, very bad booking decisions. And that's the thing. We've said this over how many months now, almost how many years now, about bad booking decisions and pay-per-views and bad booking decisions and Raws and SmackDowns. I mean, gosh, it's almost like we're playing a video over and over and over and over again and expecting a different result. Well, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. I mean,
you're absolutely right, Mike. Let me run this by you, Mike. So if Vince McMahon says, I don't care what anybody says, I want Shane and Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns on Raw tomorrow night or SmackDown on Tuesday, whichever it's going to be. That's my order. I'm the owner of this company, and that is written in rock. Then me as a writer says, then don't have Roman win. Have Shane interfere to the point where Drew McIntyre wins. Then let Roman be the guy who challenges both of them. Then the fans would be into it because they'd say, okay, Roman's had enough. He wouldn't have lost if it wasn't for Shane McMahon interfering. So now he says, look, if he's going to interfere anyway, put him in the goddamn match so at least I can get some revenge on him without him being outside the ring. I'll take two of them at once. Then if he pins Shane McMahon, it still has Drew McIntyre looking strong because McIntyre has a victory over a bad one, but he still has a victory over Roman, and Roman has one over him. So Drew McIntyre still looks kind of strong because he doesn't lose the match tonight or tomorrow night. Shane does. And it was Roman who challenged them, not them challenging Roman, which makes the difference, Mike.
Right. And furthermore, it's time to it's almost time to cycle Shane down. That would be the move. You know, have Shane take the pin. It doesn't hurt what you call it. It starts the cycling down of Shane, and there you go. You know, and that's the thing. But again, that's logic, and we've said it before. Either he's seen now or he. All logic has left Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I mean, look, what should really happen, in all honesty, is Roman should have lost last night because of Shane. Roman should have been irate and said, just give me Shane and Drew at the same time. I'm tired of this nonsense. I'm tired of this. I promise you, if you give me Shane and Drew at the same time, one of the two of them, you ain't never going to see it again. Well, fans would be like, wow, Roman's hot. I mean, you could have him throwing shit backstage. You could have him really mad. where fans say, look, I got to see this. And then, tonight or tomorrow, whichever that match is, Roman Reigns should finish Shane McMahon off to the point where Shane McMahon's gone for a little while. And they say Shane was injured. Roman Reigns destroyed Shane McMahon. That way, when Shane comes back, he could say, look, I'm no match for Roman Reigns in the ring. I know that. But that doesn't mean I forgive him for what he did to me. Can you imagine the heat that Shane McMahon would get if he came back and said, Roman Reigns broke my ribs. Roman Reigns put me out into a hospital for I don't know how long, and he knows I'm not a wrestler. He knows I'm no match for him. He knows I'm not a competitor, because then fans would say, wait a minute, you were saying you were the best in the world. And now you're crying, I'm not really a wrestler, and look what he did to me. That would be a good angle. And then he could say, I know I'm not a match for him, so, you know, that's fine, but I'm still going to get revenge. It would still leave Drew McIntyre strong, because Drew didn't take the ultimate loss. Shane did. They're 1-1 now. That would have been your best overall way to handle this, Todd, but instead they decided to go for the exact opposite, which makes really no sense.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's just, they go the opposite way. It does not make sense on things. In matches and bookings like that, it just confuses people, technically.
And fans booed. Fans booed when Shane announced it. They wouldn't have booed if Roman demanded it. If Roman tore shit up backstage and said, I want Shane and Drew at the same damn time, fans would have cheered and said, oh, wow, this could be good. Roman's hot. You have the announcers play it up and say, I've known Roman Reigns my whole life. I've never seen him this mad. I've never seen him this mad. And even have Corey Graves. See, this is the part where Corey Graves has to have some show some ass. And Corey Graves should say, look, all kidding aside, Shane McMahon better not get in that ring. I know we're doing the Shane McMahon's the best in the world, and I know what I've said in the past, but that Roman Reigns that we just saw a minute ago, that's a dangerous individual, and Shane McMahon cannot handle that. And Shane McMahon better not get in that ring. Shane better think twice. Because then fans would say, shit, even Corey Graves is saying Roman's out of control. He's going to hurt somebody. And it's probably going to be Shane. And then fans would tune in. That's what you've got to do. You've got to convince fans to tune in. Instead, you have the heels lose and then say, we want another match. Like, that's going to make fans tune in? You've handled it ass backwards. Anyway, it's a hard pay-per-view to rate, folks, because there was some of it I enjoyed very much. And there's some of it that I just said, oh, my God, what this bodes for the future is not well for the WWE. For that reason, I have to give it a C- and almost a D. It's really close because the mistakes they made far outweighed the good matches that were put on. The mistakes are going forward. The future does not look good for the main events. And that's a bad thing. I don't know. It wavers between C minus and a D, but I'll say C minus. Mike, what do you say?
I'm going to say a D plus, you know, and that's yeah. Basically what you're saying, you know. And the thing is can you imagine that interview, that spot where he comes out and says all, Shane comes out and says all this stuff, and you're thinking he's the best in the world, and then The Miz comes out and says, what have I been saying all this time?
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, again, that's exactly right. For Shane to come out after a few weeks or, you know, whatever, and say, Roman Reigns took advantage of a man who's not a wrestler. Everyone knows I'm not a wrestler. I'm a father. And I bravely got in the ring once or twice, but I'm no match for a WWE athlete. Everybody knows that. I mean, that's the perfect fodder for The Miz to come out and say, gee, how things have changed. I thought you were the best in the world, Shane. I thought nobody could touch you, Shane. You know, there's so much you could do with that, and unfortunately the WWE just decides to screw everything up. Todd, what's your rating on this?
I got to go with you, a C.
He's going to give it a little better than me, a C, D plus. It's all right in there. The problem is this, folks, with a little bit of tweaking, this could have been a B plus. It was that close. Could have been a B plus. Instead, it's a D or a C minus because the bottom line is you have made so many bad booking errors I'm really curious to see what the crowd is like tonight, because if it's like I think it's going to be, we could be in for a very interesting Raw tonight as far as the crowd response is concerned. We'll be back here tomorrow with your Raw update. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.